Okay, City Council meeting for July 7th, Tuesday, 2020 is called to order.
Councilmember Silvers could not be here. Councilmember Johnson?
Here.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Here.
Councilmember Blaylock?
Here.
Councilmember Boyd?
Here.
Mayor Kennan?
Here. Invocation by Councilman Jeff Boyd, followed by our Pledge of Allegiance.
Heavenly Father, we come here tonight just thanking you for your presence, thanking you for the blessings of this city. I ask for wisdom and discernment and knowledge and fairness from all of us. Lord, and I just want to say thanks for where we live and for just the protection we have in the city, the safety. And I just pray for our country. I lift up the leaders at our state levels, at our federal levels. We're in a time that we really need you. We need to turn to you. And I just ask for your guidance and for your mercy over this country. Lord, thank you for all of the blessings that we have. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Entertain a motion considering tonight's agenda.
Move to approve the agenda with five additional items, the first being a resolution authorizing a performance contract with MAC, the second, a resolution appropriating funds for MAC, the third, a resolution appropriating funds to the Baldwin County Board of Education, the fourth, a resolution authorizing the single source purchase of temporary asphalt wedging on Canal Road, and the fifth, a resolution authorizing a fiber optics development agreement addendum with Island Fiber.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Considering previous minutes of our work session, regular council meeting, and committee of the whole, 6-2-2020. There are no objections. Reading the minutes will be waived. Any corrections to the minutes? No corrections. The minutes stand approved as written. Any reports or announcements by council?
Mayor, I would like to announce that tickets for Beauty and the Beast, our third foray into community theater, went on sale July 1st. And are available now. The link is www.orangebeachal.gov. There are three performances, all of them at the Event Center, August 28, 29 at 7 p.m., and a matinee at 2 o'clock on Sunday, August 30th. Tickets are $15. I have help. And I think you'll be very, very excited to see your friends and neighbors perform Beauty and the Beast, a very challenging musical. Our own Jessica Langston is the coordinator. Jonathan, I think, plays a good role in it. And Chase Morissette, our in-house director with Expect Excellence, is the director. So buy your tickets, come out. Let's all get together for some community theater in August.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Anything else? Okay. Chief, where you at? Come on up, buddy. We want to recognize our newly promoted police personnel.
Mayor, Council, thank you for the time to allow me to recognize some newly promoted personnel within the department. They're not new to the personnel, but they're new to their rank. First, I would like to recognize and introduce Assistant Chief Robert Howard. Robert grew up here in Baldwin County and is a graduate of the Foley High School. He has been a volunteer with the Gulf Shores Fire Department and then joined the MedStar EMS outfit in 1987. During that time, around about 1993, we both started the reserve program here at the same time. In 1994, Robert received his APO certification from Southwest Alabama Police Academy. Throughout the years here in Orange Beach, he has been assigned to numerous tasks within the department. He's been obviously in the patrol division. He was actually a founding member or officer of the Marine Division, as it is now, and ultimately was lieutenant over that division before transferring back over to the patrol division. He's also been the lieutenant over the intelligence and the communications division. Robert also served as interim chief from June of 2015 until February of 2016. Rob is married to Karen, and they have two sons, Parker and Caden. And Rob was chosen to fill this position as assistant chief in March of 2020. Just like to congratulate Robert Howard.
Yes.
Next, I'd like to recognize Lieutenant Kevin Lonsdale. Kevin is originally from the Prattville area and is a graduate of South Montgomery Academy. He attended college in Auburn. He is married to his wife, Deanna. They have two children, one grandchild. Kevin received his post certification from the Montgomery Police Academy in 1987. Kevin retired from the Montgomery Police Department after 25 years of service, where he attained the rank of lieutenant and was a shift commander for the Montgomery Police Department. He retired in 2012 and moved to the beat, supposedly to relax, but he began his second law enforcement career here with the OBPD in January of 2013. Through his time here, he served in the patrol division, investigative division, and most recently transferred back to the patrol division, and it's my pleasure to promote him to lieutenant. He is very capable. He knows what he's doing. He knows our community. In the time that he's been here, he's learned that. It's not Montgomery. It's Orange Beach, and we look forward to working with him.
Thank you.
I'd like to recognize Lieutenant Trent Johnson. Trent is going to be the lieutenant over the investigative division. He is originally from the Decatur area, where he graduated from Austin High School. He began his career in law enforcement with a sheriff's detention center in Morgan County, Alabama. He moved to Baldwin County, started his employment as a corrections officer with the OBPD, and maintained a position in the jail for 4 years. Trent received his APO certification in July of 2011. From the Mobile Police Academy. His first assignment was obviously to the patrol division, and 9 years later, he is now leading a team of investigators along with a narcotics unit and school resource officers. He's married to Ashley Johnson, who is an officer with our department, and she is in the intelligence division. And they have four children ranging from ages 18 years to 18 months, so they are very, very busy. But I would like to say that I saw a lot of potential in Trent and brought him over to the investigative division when I was a lieutenant, and he is going to do an outstanding job in this position. Congratulations. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Chief. Congratulations, guys. Thank y'all.
Yes.
All right, moving new business under resolutions. Resolution awarding the bid for Public Works Fuel Station, MECO.
Oops, we didn't do auditing.
Okay, somebody do that for me.
Auditing of accounts?
Go ahead,
Annette. Move to certify the cash requirements with no related interest are within the budget and appropriate for payment.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Move to certify the cash requirements with related interest in Swift Supply are within the budget and appropriate for payment.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, now moving to new business resolution. Resolution awarding the bid for Public Works Fuel Station to MECO, an amount not to exceed $146,465.37.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution awarding the bid for baseball-softball complex to EJ Builders in an amount not to exceed $2,372,222.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution declaring a vehicle owned by the City of Orange Beach a surplus unneeded. Donation to the town of Somerdale.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing the execution of a task order with Thompson Engineering. Perform design, permitting, construction, management, driveway, commons, retail establishment, analysis, driveway access, canal road, state 161 intersection, not to exceed $46,680.
Move to adopt.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Addition, resolution authorizing the execution of a performance contract with Mako's Academics Arts Athletics Club, MAC.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Addition, resolution appropriating funds to the Mako's Academics Arts and Athletics Club, $274,838.50.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? This is the balance or close to the budgeted amount for the year, if I'm correct. So all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Addition, resolution appropriating the funds to the Baldwin County Board of Education for teachers, coaches' salaries not to exceed $50,000.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? This is an addition. Resolution authorizing the single source purchase, temporary asphalt wedging, Canal Road widening project, John G. Walton Construction Company, $54,920.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion?
Can we say what it's about?
Yeah, can we tell them
that's
what
I'm fixing
to.
Thank you.
This is a product that will allow us to keep five lanes open while they're doing a lot of shoulder work on the south side, in layman's terms. If you'd like to expand upon that.
I would like to basically state that Kid Alexander Community Development, the way this project had been bid, we were going to have one eastbound lane and two westbound lanes. And in response to a request from the mayor's office, John G. Walton developed a plan to be able to have two eastbound lanes and two westbound lanes on the weekends in response to the amount of traffic that we're seeing coming into town. And this is, I just wanted to express appreciation. We do have Scott Appleton here from John G. Walton. He has been very responsive, clearly shown himself to be an advocate for the city of Orange Beach. And when we make a request, he's shown that he, makes things happen in response to the needs that we have as a community. And I just wanted to recognize him and express our appreciation.
Stand up, Scott.
Thank you, Scott.
Because I want y'all to say, we would not have had five lanes this summer. It was contracted that we would only have that single lane eastbound. It would be in the fall. But when we and Scott, we started talking, he jumped on it, got Aldott involved, and we worked out a way to get five lanes. So thank you. That's a big, big deal to everybody that lives here.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Except it costs you $5 for your phone ringing in here.
Yeah.
I'm playing, but thank you much.
And I do want to mention this work that's being covered by this is a lot of work for them to do. They basically have to build the wedge prior to the weekend and then come back after the weekend and remove it in order to do the paving. So this is a lot of extra work for them, and so we really appreciate it.
And yes. The easy answer would have been no, because it's not in the contract. They didn't have to do it. Man, I can't thank you enough, because my phone doesn't ring near as much when it's five lanes as opposed to when it's four, I promise. So.
And you know, for those, a lot of people in here, this has been like 20 years in the making trying to get us to five lanes. And for us to get five lanes as quick as we did this summer, it's been phenomenal. So thanks tremendously.
Yeah. And for those of you who don't know, we have a lot of people in town. Our April and our sewer flow is our true accurate reading of how many folks are here. In April, we had the least number of people ever in the history of Orange Beach here. In May, we had the greatest number of people ever in Orange Beach. And June is going to probably be bigger than May. So it is what it is. They're coming. So the best thing we can do is try our best to manage it and prepare in the future. And there's some things to come that we're going to announce hopefully in the very short future that we're hopefully going to help move this traffic even more so. But it is a tough balancing act extremely tough balancing act between moving traffic and accommodating everybody who lives here in every way, getting into, out of traffic. It's just very difficult. And really, y'all have heard me say this, but pretty much every decision we make comes down to the lesser of evils, because somebody's not going to like it, and somebody might like it. So we're trying our best, every one of us, working together to manage and move traffic as number one priority. It's number one priority for our police department. It's number one priority for our public works, our contractors. It's got to move traffic, or we won't get anywhere. So,
well, Mayor, I just wanted to say, though, John G. Walton is a tremendous company. We really appreciate you. But it's a partnership between the city, John G. Walton, and all the residents of Orange Beach, because everyone needs to look at the speed limit and go at that at the maximum is 40 miles an hour. You need to be going around 30 or 35, especially when you get close to where they're working. These guys are out there working hard to make life better for us. They don't need to see vehicles going by 55 and 60 miles an hour. So please obey the speed limit. It won't be for very long, and you'll have five lanes, and still it's not going to be an autobahn. I mean, so you can help us by helping them by obeying the speed limit.
Yeah, and please let folks know we are not giving any quarter. There's no mulligans. We're writing tickets probably more so than we ever have on the five lane because of the speed, and we've got to slow everybody down because it's not Talladega, and sometimes some of our folks think it is. A lot of our visitors think it, because once they come over that bridge, you know, they check their common sense on the other side, and it's all out. So please let folks know we're very serious about managing the speed on our five lanes, including Beach Road. All right. Anybody else want to add to that? All right. Did we vote?
Nope.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Addition, resolution authorizing the execution of a fiber optics development agreement, addendum with Camp Fox, LLC, doing business as Island Fiber, Phase 2, Fiber to the Home Services.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Any discussion? We have worked through significant, and Jerry, you added, but Jerry, you've done most of the work, and I appreciate that. We feel like it's imperative that we get fiber to the residential side of Orange Beach, and if that takes our involvement to make that happen, we're going to do that while trying to protect our taxpayer dollars at the same time and get the biggest bang for the buck. But I really do think we've got a good plan now. We've got some other interested parties, and I think it's going to be good.
We're going to restructure the agreement and break it down into neighborhoods. So what the plan is now immediately is he's working in Bear Point. We're going to finish Bear Point, north and south Bear Point. Then he's going to come up and build out East Orange Beach. And then we're going to move from neighborhood to neighborhood, and that way the city will know what it's going to cost for each neighborhood. And so it's a much better plan, and his biggest problem right now is getting materials due to COVID-19, but they're slowly coming in. But we're excited about it. I think it's a very positive move to get fiber, and nothing has accentuated that decision more than COVID-19. When you've had everybody at home and everybody's got one or two devices, so when you get this lightning speed internet, you can have 100 devices and you'll never see a drop in your speed. So it's worth it. We're very excited about it, and hopefully we can start moving a little bit quicker than what we have been soon. You know, and hopefully he'll be getting equipment in very soon to be able to build it out.
I just want to add one thing to that, and this does not increase the amount that the city has already committed to. So just want to make sure that everybody understands we're just restructuring the way we're paying them, but we're not putting this any more city dollars at risk than we already committed to.
Thank you, Ford.
Well, so restructuring to have a better use of our dollars and to assure success is what it amounts to. So all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, moving. Committee of the whole. So,
Mayor, I do have one question.
Okay.
Jim, Pastor Kinder's here tonight, and I think, was it Sunday a week ago when you had a service there at the Art Center? And it worked out very, very well. So they're wanting to, they're interested in doing a Sunday night service at the Art Center, and really includes any other churches that want to come. But and Desiree's been a huge help in helping them. But I think he would like to finish out this month and try to do August also. Yeah.
Yeah, permit's approved.
Permit's approved.
It's ready to go.
Okay, all right.
We appreciate y'all doing it. Absolutely.
Thank you.
And thank you for bringing that up.
Yes, thank you.
All right. Okay, we will adjourn and immediately go to the committee of the whole meeting. So do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay, call the committee of the whole meeting for Tuesday, July 7th, 2020 to order. Call the roll, please.
Councilmember Silvers, absent. Councilmember Johnson?
Here.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Here.
Councilmember Blaylock?
Here.
Councilmember Boyd?
Here.
Mayor Kennan?
Here. Moving to new business. I'm sorry. Consideration of previous minutes from our regular councilman committee of the whole 6-16-20. Those will be moved forward for review. New business, Ms. Lenny, set a public hearing. Decision of building official regarding a permit extension for construction of single-family home by Paul Uter, 7-21-2020. Y'all good with that?
Yes.
Okay. Moving to resolution. Resolution authorizing execution of task order, Auburn University. Environmental inventories within Perdido Bay, not to exceed $89,269. Resolution authorizing execution of memorandum of understanding, Columbia Southern, for excavation location.
Evacuation.
Location in the event of a major storm. I'm just going to keep reading. If y'all stop me, if y'all see something, we'll talk about it, okay? Resolution awarding bid for roadway repairs. Resolution authorizing execution of task order with McCullough Architecture. Professional services, Orange Beach High School Fieldhouse, not to exceed $44,255. Resolution authorizing execution of investment management agency agreement, Regions Bank. Resolution authorizing execution of a lease agreement with Intellicom Wireless Management for wireless communication tower.
Mayor, this I just want to let people know, this is the tower that's behind City Hall, that's right next to the backcountry trail. But this Intellicom represents Southern Link, which is part of Southern Company, and they have leased. What we're leasing is the property that the tower stands on. It's not our tower. It's their tower. So we're just renewing the lease and extending it longer.
You know, while we're talking about telecommunications, I don't know. Have anybody had problems with the Verizon or AT&T? Okay. Well, I know I can't hardly use it anymore. So we know there is a broadband deficit.
Yes.
So I don't understand how they get to sell so many contracts. And, I mean, you would think they have X number of contracts that they can do per whatever. I mean, I'm an idiot when it comes to that type
I've got
of thing.
A call, but I've got to call into them. I'm going to talk to them, see what their plan would be to add more capacity.
Yeah, it's got
to
be done.
So I'll talk to a vice president of Verizon in – he said that their biggest traffic day is Mother's Day every year for bandwidth. And since COVID-19 has hit, they have been quadruple the bandwidth of Mother's Day every day. And that's why our phones aren't doing what they used to do. They just can't keep up.
Yeah. And I hate that for them. They need to give me a rebate on my monthly check. That's what they need to do then.
Well,
I paid for good service, not partial service.
Yeah, I'm going to challenge them. I mean, they can install some small cells down here.
Yeah.
That would increase the bandwidth. So I'm going to see if we can convince them to do that.
Okay.
At least through the summer.
Yes.
Resolution appointing the city clerk to prepare and file the list of qualified voters for the August 25, 2020 municipal election, City of Orange Beach. Resolution appointing election officers for the municipal election. A reminder, public hearing, first reading of ordinance, amending ordinance number 172, Somersault PUD modification, July 21, 2020. So, all right, this time we will open up the floor for comments, discussion, airing dirty laundry, whatever y'all want to do.
I have Kid Alexander Community Development. I have some residents from Cypress Village who would like to speak with regard to access to Canal Road and pedestrian concerns.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thanks for having us. I'm Linda Mills. This is Wendy Hom. And we are both on the board of directors with Cypress Village Homeowners Association. But we're really not here in that capacity tonight. We're here speaking just as residents, concerned citizens, and parents of Orange Beach. So as you are aware, our development is the closest development across the street from the new middle school and high school. And we noticed last week that they were digging a new entrance right off Canal Road. So of course our initial concerns was, how are people going to get in and out of that entrance and access the school, get out on Canal Road while we're turning out on Canal Road? So this is initially how our brainstorming started, was with that. So I had reached out to a couple different entities, and LDOT did write me back and state, well, that entrance is actually not the main entrance of the school. It will be used for visitors. So that's great and all, but we have a lot more questions and concerns. Can you raise your hand if you're from our neighborhood tonight? We've got some great representation tonight. But we're not just speaking on behalf of Cypress Village children. We're speaking on behalf of any children that live in Orange Beach and will be attending the school. So the mayor kind of led this perfectly for us. He said it's a tough balancing act, and the number one priority of the city is to move traffic. Well, our number one priority is our children. We want to keep them safe and alive. And we don't believe that it should take one fatality in order for, whether it's LDOT or the city or the county board of education, to make changes. We do not need to lose a child or have another child hurt, like the little girl driving her bike to the Dollar General. So we have a lot of questions that we have that we would like addressed, because as you know, school starts next month. So,
and one thing I want you all to understand is Cypress Village is a large community. We have the townhouses. We have like 96 townhouses that are there. We have 173 homes all in that vicinity. If you just average out about 2 cars per household, you're talking like 700 cars over there. That is the equivalent of how many's coming in and out. And some people have 4 cars in their house. Some, you know, have 3. We have a constant, we sit there tonight even. Mm-hmm. We just sat there and had to wait 6 cars in line, trying to get out onto Canal Road. Now that it is a 5 lane, mm-hmm. it is very dangerous. Our turn lane has been gone, so when we're coming home to even turn in to Cypress Village, we have no, and Tony, you and I have talked about this, we have no way to turn. I mean, I've almost been rear-ended now 4 times, and all I do is look behind me going, please, please, please. Mm-hmm. So our turn lane's been gone. We have all this flow of traffic that's coming out of Cypress Village to try to get onto Canal Road. Now we're staring at an entrance. And what I'm afraid of is kids, teenagers, coming out, trying to boot across the street to go into that other entrance.
Mm-hmm. And I spoke with Kit earlier today. Kit knows us very well in Cypress Village, so we appreciate all the phone calls and emails that she allows us. But, you know, our biggest concern is William Silvers Parkway, whether it's not enough. It's not enough to let our children cross safely. We're pushing this multi-use path that's going to run from the wharf all the way to Bear Point. But what's happening on the south side of the road? You can't make a city half bike friendly or half pedestrian friendly. So on the other side of the road, what are we doing to accommodate these pedestrians and these bikers and these children that are walking or biking to school, to after school activities? As we all know, I have a lot of stats I'm not going to read out, but the $11 million Performing Arts Center, which is going to hold a...
Well, you know what? Let's do this. I'll never remember all these questions.
I know. Yeah.
So let's do them one at a time.
Okay.
So you do leave here with answers, whether you like them or not. Is that fair enough?
Yeah, we would love that. If you allow us, we would love that.
Please don't take my blunt frankness for anything except this is sort of the way we see it.
Oh, no, yeah. We understand
the
that.
The right-of-way and ability to get multimodal paths on north and south side of the road is impossible.
Okay.
Secondly, it's beyond expensive because to do that, it now creates dams north and south, which requires significant drainage that we can't move water. We have finally got water moving in a quality way around y'all's neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And the last thing we want to do is go back to where we were with that water backing up. And that's okay. Why we're not going to have it on the south. What they have on the south is to go down William Silvers through the ballpark. You can go down Oak Ridge all the way to 161 with our new sidewalk we put down Oak Ridge.
Sure.
The path on the north side is from Wharf Parkway East mm-hmm. over to Dr. Brown.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And we're hoping to come down Commercial Drive from the east to the west to the red light.
Sure.
So, but that will be, that is the only sidewalk or a multimodal path we have the ability to do on Canal Road.
And we understand that, okay. But how are we going to safely get the people from the south side to the north side? So we all were high schoolers at some point. We all know that even when there's police or crossing guards present, those are only half an hour, 45 minutes in the morning, 45 minutes at night. But how many students in here do after school activities or sports, and they want to go to the new Burger King or the new Cinnabon or the Wharf, which is current, you know, we all know the Wharf is expanding and adding more businesses, and we want that to be the highlight of Orange Beach. So how can we get those students, those children, safely across? Because you know they're not going to leave the school at the bus ramp, walk all the way down William Silvers, then come all the way back.
What do y'all suggest?
Well, that's why we're here.
Because there's no fix.
Yeah. So
we asked Aldott for a light. I mean, we thought about this before the school was even
called. That's what we wanted, and we knew we couldn't get it.
They're not going to do it. I mean, Aldott designed that. We don't design that. We can only give recommendations on a state highway. The fix was making William Silvers, because there was a light there, the most safe thing we could do.
Mm-hmm.
The second fix was us doing a walk in front of Cypress Village so the kids have that option.
Mm-hmm.
The third would be a crosswalk. If we tried to do a crosswalk, you're talking 600 feet of ramps going back and forth. It's just not doable.
Well, can you explain that? You said 600 feet of ramps.
Crossover.
Okay. Yeah.
Crossover.
Crossover.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's got to be ADA compliant.
Because it's got to be handicapped. So it's not just, you can't just do one with stairs or spiral stair. You mm-hmm. have to take up all that space. And there are two things that prove it. Cost, we'd find a way if it was feasible. Now, we'd make a partnership with the Wharf or do something, but
mm-hmm.
the feasibility, because of the handicappedness, makes it almost impossible.
And we don't want to be, because in my opinion, I see this as a Floribama on steroids, because we have five lanes, not two, and we have children,
well,
not drunk adults. Well, but children don't always make, children and drunk adults kind of
make stupid
are synonymous.
Decisions.
They make dumb decisions. So we all know that there's going to be kids running back and forth. And then with the expansion of the Sportsplex, I mean, we're adding another baseball stadium, softball stadium, the SEC championship will still be there, the Mako's football field, the athletic training facility. Those kids and those parents are going to want to get across. And some of those kids, when they're there for a tournament all day, they're going to want walk or bike or hoverboard, whatever they do, across to get to the Wharf to go to those restaurants. And
we don't have an answer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there, we've you cannot put a lighted crosswalk there.
Why?
Because you'd never move any traffic. Every time it gets bumped, it stops. And when you stop, you can look at the volume of traffic you would move with the stop. It's the same thing we have down in front of Potato Hilton, and it wouldn't be near the traffic stoppage there that we would have going back and forth across in front of Cypress Village.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you stop traffic. Okay, we can do a lot of things with that. Well, first of all, we can't do anything without ALDOT's approval. But let's tell you one thing at a time. But the crosswalk would literally, I don't know how in the heck we would move traffic on Canal Road with a crosswalk there. We've evaluated everything there is to evaluate, I promise you, because we understand the grief. If there is a way that, what ALDOT has told us is, let's get the five lane in. We're going to put the D-cell on your side, so you'll have that D-cell lane coming in from the right. When we get all of that done, let's evaluate then what our needs are. So they left the door open for us to come back and ask possibly. See, Louder Place is the exact same situation. They denied Louder Lane a red light, and they're just like you are. You know, hundreds of houses down there trying to get across left. So,
and this really isn't about our development as much as it's about the safety of the children in our development and other developments, or even not even in developments on Canal Road, children that are crossing Canal Road to get to the Wharf, to get to, you know, maybe they have friends in our neighborhood. There's going to be a lot of back and forth. It's not just
but
about
there shouldn't be. There shouldn't be. I mean, you don't cross a five-lane road. I mean, mom and dad's got to teach their kids to use their head. And, I mean, I'm sorry, I can't be mom and dad. And I'm telling you, we've looked at it every way possible, and I don't know how to get them across safely. We're going to have a police officer there morning and evening, and we're going to do everything we can protect them.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. On a day like today, if you stop that traffic just once every 5 minutes, every 7 minutes, you'd be backed up down the road down here.
So basically,
the only thing that would actually work would be a crossover, but we can't afford it.
And that's if you could force children to use it.
Well, that's the two. There's two things. It's not. It's finding the space to do it with, because of how much length you need. And then it's the kids are going to bypass it because it's so long to go up and down a ramp to go across and back down. Let's just say it was at the wharf over by Tom Thumb.
But you, I mean, for that, I mean, you could have, I mean, the kids don't have to take, you can have one section for people that aren't in wheelchairs and another section of a ramp for people that have to use the handicap.
I don't think it works that way because that requires even more space. And just so everyone knows what the plan is, in case you're not familiar, the school is on the south side of the street. There will be a separate entrance for buses only. There will be an entrance for visitors to go to the office only, which is what you see going in right now. It's in and out. There's no access from that entrance to the back of the school to go anywhere else. And then all of the traffic will turn into Bill Silver's Parkway, and the hope is that the entire car line will be staged on school property. So it will take you to the back of the property and then weave back around to drop off the children. So if you're coming, say, from Cypress Village and you have a golf cart, you can take your child on the multi-vehicle sidewalk to the crossing light where there will be crossing guards, cross the street, take your child to whatever entrance on the back of the property that they will go in, and then come back around. Children on bikes take the same way. So all of the traffic will be funneled there to get it off of Canal Road and not stop anyone coming out of your development going to work. Mm-hmm. That traffic will continue moving. And like the mayor said, the state has asked us to do what the plan states and then adjust. So let's see how it works. We are very, very confident that we can move people and cars quickly and get them off Canal Road.
And I did not mean to be flippant when I said mom and dad, but I mean, that is so important. We've got to warn these kids, and Dr. McCoy, we've talked about this. These kids, she's got to tell them in school, you do not cross that five lane to go to Burger King. Yeah. You just can't do that. So I'm not being flippant in any way. It is a true dilemma because now we say it's $1 million just to put in that sidewalk. Mm-hmm. I mean, nothing's cheap. It would be probably close to $2 million to put in the overpass or the walkover. Not that that's not a possibility. What I've talked to ALDOT about is, can we build a phase in at the red light that allows the lights to be synced to stop to allow people to cross, but it's not on demand?
That's sure. What we were That's talking about.
Okay. But in the summer, that would be it'd probably be a little bit of a wait before you got an opportunity to cross.
Well, and there's not going to be as much school-aged children crossing in the summer.
That's right. But there's not as much traffic. So it's a good thing because in the school year, when tourist traffic is down, then that phase can be built in a shorter.
Right now, the cross at William Silvers is fairly quick, especially if you're crossing with young children.
Well, it's really not built that way.
So that is going to change, you're confirming that?
I can't speak for ALDOT.
Okay.
But that
can Mr. Appleton?
Yeah. Mr. Who?
No. Scott?
No. Okay. He works for a contractor that's building
I deal directly with Mr. Cooper, the director, because right now they're doing so many things that's outside the norm of what ALDOT does. We've just got a really good relationship. That is what we would like to pursue, and if we can make that happen, we're all in. We just got to get their permission. Now, I don't have a problem with y'all creating a petition or a request form and getting me lots of names so that I can have it in front of me.
Can do that.
Yeah, I know you can. That's why
I
asked politely. So.
So just to clarify, there's no crosswalk at the Sweetwater Drive, no...
Well, you couldn't have two.
Okay.
Because, I mean, think about it. Man, you never get traffic through there, even in the off season. Because what's getting tough for all of us? So remember, I drive these roads probably more than anybody, and I am exhausted already. And we're halfway through the summer, so I get everybody's grief right now. But that if we don't move it, then nobody can get out at Captain's Cove. and Louder Lane, because it just backs up and it looks like a slinky, and they, you know. The other thing I was going to say, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No,
if
ahead.
I don't say it, I'll lose it, is we're also concerned, it's not just y'all's kids. You're going to have all the kids from Captain's Cove coming that way to school, everybody. So it is a true nightmare.
It is.
But, you know, the flip side of that is the only place we had to put to school, and we have a school. We just got to figure out how to work around.
And we wanted to propose something else this evening, and Don's here. His wife, Heather Sterling, out of our neighborhood, she did some research, and there's actually quite a few initiatives. Safe Routes, the National Center for Safe Routes to School, they have different programs and education that the school actually implements, like at an elementary age level, like second grade, they teach bicycle safety. So there's different things that we can do from a proactive approach to teach, like you said, mom and dad, teach the children about biking and pedestrian safety. Yeah. Because a majority of the fatalities occur at these non-intersections when children on walking or bikes try to cross streets.
And so, you know, when I said that about mom and dad, I see things though that scare me to death, like kids this big on a golf cart. I see it all the time, and it's like, come on, mom and dad, help us out here, because we can't enforce and make everybody behave. There's only so much we can do, and that's what I meant by we just got to educate mom and dad. You've got to tell your kids they can't cross a five lane. But we got to figure out how to minimize that risk. Go ahead, Jerry. I'll cut you.
Well,
off.
I'll just, you know, there was a light there at East Wharf Parkway that ALDOT approved.
That would be helpful.
Now, it seemed like to me you could put the light back there for pedestrians to cross. It would have to be a wait time. Mm-hmm. And you could sync it. You could even do it with a camera where it was monitoring the density of the traffic. It would stay a little longer. They would have to wait a little longer to cross. Mm-hmm. And then once the camera saw that the density slowing down, it would trip and let somebody cross. All those are possibilities. But you look at that intersection after a concert, or now we're putting a Tom Thumb right there. Just
how
about
are
to
people
me.
Expected to turn left onto Canal at the new gas station?
It's going to be the Frogger.
I mean,
it's going to be.
So why not fix it before it becomes a Frogger? It's going to be a tragedy. I mean, it's going to—you know—it's going to have bad accidents.
Do we have to wait for the tragedy before ALDOT will let us do anything?
No, I don't think anybody's. We're all very aware of the concern. We really are. I mean, just. We don't want to. We're not minimizing it.
Hey, this pain is our pain.
I understand
you
guys are in a rock and a hard place, and it's very difficult to try to figure out. And I get that very much. This is why we're just bringing you our concerns so that you can see that it's not just you all thinking about it. There's a whole lot of people that are thinking about
it. We actually recommended that entrance not even be there in the beginning, through the school superintendent, mm-hmm. and trying to develop a path all the way around the school. Mm-hmm. But look, the safety of your kids. After Hurricane Ivan, we moved to a condo, and we were the first ones to get a cross guard to get our kids across going to the elementary school. I get it. Mm-hmm. And, man, no, we don't want to lose a life, and we're willing to go to whatever cost we have to prevent that. And what happened out on the beach, mm-hmm. pedestrians used to be our number one death on top of drowning.
Wow.
And because of what they've done out there, it's completely, it's eliminated, basically, because of the safety of the touch points. And as painful as that was to save a life, it was worth it.
Sure.
And we understand the same right here in this situation. And look, if I could approve an overwalk tomorrow, I would do it. Mm-hmm. But there's so many more factors, and there's so many parties involved, because we make recommendations like this, and then it has to come through ALDOT. The benefit we have right now is years of us building relationships with ALDOT, that things are finally starting to happen and they're working with us. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're going outside of their budget to try to help us because they know that our pain points. So we applaud you coming to us, mm-hmm. and there's not any part of us that's pushing back. We're basically going, how can we help?
Yeah.
And what can we do more to fix it?
Because so what can we do?
Let's keep going through these points, because there's a lot here. But I want you to know this. I think everyone, we're so appreciative that you're here, and not on Facebook, because we can actually get something solved and dealt
Amen.
With here.
We can't get
anything done on Facebook. So this is what we appreciate and respect. That's why we opened this thing up. So thank y'all. So we're going to work on it. I think Jerry has an idea, and I'm going to look into it.
if we put the light back at the wharf, I don't necessarily know we got to have a crosswalk there, but what that will do is that will break traffic up by stopping it there. You stop it there, that gives y'all the left out. If it's synced at a time with you want to build service.
Exactly. Yes. That was what I was thinking we were talking about on the way over here, is maybe they can sync these lights.
Mm-hmm. But we need another light to break it up.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if we sync those, in the off-season, it won't be an issue. The summer will be difficult, period. For 10 weeks, it's going to be tough. But it still will be better because if we stop that eastbound traffic, stop the westbound traffic just for a minute, it gives you a break to zip out. So we're going to look into that. There probably could not be a crosswalk at the wharf east because it's so far to the west. I don't think we could get a sidewalk up that side of the road because there's no right-of-way and drainage and private property. So I don't know, because y'all know how far close the ABC store is to the road there.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if we could. But then we go back to a synchronized phase with a light that says cross now, if that makes sense. It's not on demand, but it's synchronized with the light. I think that's a possibility.
At William Silver's?
Yes.
Okay.
That's a possibility. I will have a meeting and get that with Director Cooper as soon as possible. The other option is if we see that entrance there, and I saw on here where it said Mayor Kennan said there would not be entrance, and I'm sorry, if I said that, I totally misspoke. If I remember correctly, I think I was on drugs, because I was right after I had my gallbladder taken out. But my point, I thought the question was...
I think that you were. It was at our actual meeting.
So I told you I have an excuse. But my point is, I thought we were discussing drop-off and pick-up.
I gotcha, yeah.
And because I always knew that the entrance of the administrative office would have an entrance. Now, whether that... If that becomes grief, then we can make the recommendation we need to move it down and the entrance needs to come in off Sweetwater.
Because you will be having people probably not using signals, turning left into each other.
We have idiot drivers around here. You know this.
I see the head-on issue.
The head-on, yeah.
But let's just see if there's an issue there, and with at least with the traffic.
We just hope that children aren't attracted. Because children, you'll be attracted to any sort of driveway to walk off of to cross. That's another concern with that driveway there.
May I ask a question? Do you let your children walk to the sportsplex?
Mine are only 2, 4, and 6, so I'm not even there yet.
Mine are grown and married, so
I can honestly say, and I am on Canal Road a lot. Mm-hmm. I rarely see a child on Canal Road.
That's because it's so dangerous.
I mean, because it's so dangerous, and I don't think that parents' brains get turned off because it's summer or school time. I think we are all very vigilant about our children. So I have two comments. Number one, although, Jerry, I think your idea is great, they removed that lane to improve traffic flow at 2 lanes, or actually 3 lanes. I doubt that they're going to put another light in. I think it's going to be the same answer that they gave us on Lauder Place. So I would not hold out a lot of truth for that. And
she
next
underestimates
time,
me. Constantly.
Sometimes.
They added that merge lane from the wharf.
From the wharf. Next time you drive down the beach road, take a look at the Gulf State Park overpass and look at how much real estate it takes at the base on each side. Mm-hmm. We just don't have that kind of space. Yeah. I mean, that space does not exist. And that is the standard. That's how much to cross 5 lanes of traffic, that's how much space we need at the base. So I really hope that parents will be uber vigilant about their children. And I don't think that it will be worse. I think it will be more control. And we will get the school open and we will see exactly where the bottlenecks are. I am very hopeful that this will work and, of course, that no one will be injured.
And that, to your point about not seeing children on Canal Road, I don't think there's any enticement right now, but once the school is open and Jersey Mike's and Burger King and Cinnabon are open and you want to go to the gas station for a Slurpee and candy,
that's the
enticement.
I'm just using my reference for the Sportsplex because we do use the Sportsplex.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that taking all the traffic off Canal Road for the school will be a great benefit to all of us.
Mm-hmm. Well, build services is going to be a nightmare because you've got a free-flowing right turn lane.
Yes.
And the light is on the other side of the lane. So, man, we're trying to figure it out.
every step of the way, there is a hurdle, there is an issue. But
is there a decel lane at that new front entrance on the south side where the visitor parking lot?
There are no decel lanes anywhere
near
on
the school.
Entire Canal Road project.
Wow. No,
because of room right away.
Okay.
But we're trying to get one in, which doesn't, well, it does if y'all go to these. We're trying to create a decel lane from Pep Boys down to the Tom Thumbs, because that right turn there stops everybody in its tracks. So we're still working on that possibility, right, Scott?
Yes.
Scott Hardy's our engineer. So that is someplace we're working, but there is a little bit more room width-wise right away to do something in.
What about lights? Because as we know, we're in a weird part of the time zone where it gets dark at 4:45 here, and if children are doing winter sports or after-school activities, what do you know the lighting situation on Canal Road at the school?
I don't think lighting.
Yeah, road light, you know.
Like, are there any street lights?
I don't know that more street lights would be an issue if we need them. I don't. But see, it's really weird. Every time I say that, then I find out a new rule, new policy, new thing in the book.
Because it's
pretty dark down on our stretch.
The big great book of ALDOT is about this thick, and it's got everything. But then, if the lights are too bright,
then you're going to everybody
complain. Then it's a blinding to the elderly or to it's just, I mean, Scott, you get to deal with them every day.
Yeah,
so.
But I think that's a possibility because we can get lights that are high enough, the height of them, where they're not blinding, as what the mayor's saying.
It is dark up at that.
But it is dark.
It's really dark, yeah.
Just
and I cut you off while ago, so whenever you want to jump back in, please do, okay?
Terry, you have anything you want to say, Terry? Are you sure?
Just as when your children are going to school in Gulf Shores, the middle and high school were in Gulf Shores, they would board a bus to come home. Mm-hmm. It may be that they board a bus to cross the street. They may be taken by bus from after school activities and driven across the street.
And Erica, hopefully, as principal, you and Robbie can enforce the rule or draw the line and just say there is nobody that walks unless you go Bill Silver's Boulevard or a bicycle that you have to use that light.
It's kind of like your jurisdiction stops at the city lines. You know, mine stops at the property lines for the school. And so, I mean, I can threaten them. I can do all kinds of things. I'm pretty intimidating.
Yes, you are.
I have no reputation for that. So I'll do my best. I agree with them that loss of life. I mean, I wish you could have been with me the moment that I received the phone call of the young lady that was hit on Canal Road. And so nobody understands this any more than I do. My prayer every single day is to keep our children safe. But I do trust the people in charge and the people with the, you know, here in the city and with the State Department and with the school district to gather together after we have significant time to observe
And again, y'all please chime in anytime you want. You're more than welcome.
What started this was the new entrance, the visitor entrance. Mm-hmm. And it was the school board, the LDOT. No one else has any say so in that. It's strictly the school board.
The Board of Education.
The school board and LDOT made that decision, which was the, obviously, that is a visitor parking lot only for administration. And I think you might know, but a lot of it is the shortest path to the front door, keeping visitors off campus, if that makes sense. You wouldn't want to come around down the street through the back, through the campus.
There's side entrances.
It's to keep them away from the children and the school is what they're saying. The safety is.
So it's straight in and straight out, which is more protected than them riding around through campus.
On top of traffic, we have Columbine.
It made sense when they told me that. I understood. Because I was like you, let's come in and come. Well, trouble is, if we build an athletic complex.
It's all open.
So basically, when they come in on that section right there, they can't get anywhere else. So this is something that we need to tell Cypress Village people.
Yes. It is protective.
Okay.
And I believe we are asking for a right in, right out at that driveway, are we not?
At what driveway?
At the entrance to the school.
No, there are no. It's a full access.
But you know
But I'll be honest with you.
And here's what we'll do. We'll call them, and if we can move it left or right, I have no problem with us helping get that done.
Exactly.
And if we can make it a right turn request, right turn in, right turn out, I have no trouble. But let us just look into that.
That would help, because then you don't have people trying to get into that center lane. Then coming across Cypress Village, coming across this way.
We're the same issue at Ace Hardware coming out of Cactus Canyon.
Exactly. And there was a bad accident there.
That's our worst intersection right this second.
Let us evaluate it and see what options are in front of us. Let us talk with the principal, because their concern of safety and protection of the campus is involved. And if we can make a difference by making a change, and everybody's on the same, I think we give you our word, we'll see what we can do.
Okay.
I promise you that. So right now, let's summarize what we've got so far. Right now, we got the D-cell lane coming in, east end, so that way you're not going to get rear-ended.
Thank you.
We are going to look into a phased light for pedestrian crossing at William Silvers. We're going to look into a light at Wharf Parkway East. And I think what we would do is talk with Aldott. The only reason that light is going to be there is to break traffic up to create a gap for y'all to make your left turn out. Because I think that could be done. But again, that 10 weeks of the summer is always going to be tough.
We all know that.
Yeah. So we'll look into that.
The sidewalk from the multimodal path.
Yeah, that's on the north side. We're going to go ahead and do that.
Okay.
Okay, so let's, all right, so where are we at? Let's keep going. Okay. I feel like we're getting something done now.
Well, you mentioned the speed on Canal Road. Is it going to remain 40 miles per hour after construction?
It probably won't be 40,
okay. But
I think we're all in agreement 45 would be max.
Okay.
And it may be, trouble is if it's 45, then it's 55.
I would keep it at 40.
But that will be a school zone. Yeah. So the speed will drop down to school zone speed limits.
Yeah, during those 45 minutes an hour. Yeah.
But we still know that, because I know if it's 40, I'm driving 55. I mean, especially on a five lane in our new cars, you don't even know you're doing 65 miles an hour.
Y'all remember when it was 55?
Yeah. Oh, not
50.
50, I remember.
Scott, do you have any idea?
I didn't, he came and asked us to drop the whole thing down to 45.
55. It was 55 in Canal. I don't remember that.
Yeah, okay.
And Erica, would you find out if there is a plan for bus service after extracurricular activities to take children home?
Yeah, there's not.
There is not? So maybe that's something, Tony, that you could.
What is that? The
shuttle? Bus service after school.
There's Erica right there.
She said no.
She's the driver.
There's no plan.
That's what I'm saying. That's what you can recruit Brent to do.
That's right.
There you go.
We will look.
There you go.
We will look into what we can do.
I'll call the transportation. I just know that if we provide a bus to cross Canal and go to Cypress, we have to provide a bus for all our activities to go everywhere.
Well, that's exactly right.
And so it's all about equity. And typically, that's historically never been done in any public setting that I'm aware of.
Well, we will look at that and see how we do we. Make it create an adjunct as a city. We'll just talk about all that.
We have several other people that want
to. Oh, sure.
To talk,
so that's why we're here.
But we thank you. Thank
we
you.
Good. No,
thank
you.
You all.
My question, so.
Okay.
Thank you.
I just have a brief question. My name's John Moore. We have a 10th grader live right across, right in the front. And of course, we were flabbergasted to see the entrance, too. We were very happy with the five lanes until. The last 2 days, I've had almost two head-on collisions just coming into my subdivision, and I'm a pretty good driver. And I was in the left lane like you guys had put down there. It looks great. Unfortunately, the guys coming out of Cypress, they're looking for the suicide lane. Or we call it, that's what we call it in Texas. That's where I'm from, sorry. Anyway, that happened the last 2 days. My question is, more importantly, and I talked to the mayor about this about a year ago, and he told me, they're going to build that sidewalk in front of Cypress. Your kid will walk down to the light and cross. And that's all well and good. What I don't understand, and maybe somebody can tell me, if then when they're across the street, do they still have to walk another half mile down the road to get into school, or can they go, is there going to be a way through Public Works? Or
what we would like to do. Man, we're winging a lot of this. I hope you understand. And I don't mean that in an ugly way. It's just we're winging a lot of it. There needs to be some type of access. and a short sidewalk of some type onto the campus grounds makes perfect sense. And then we're trying to figure out, okay, we got to get the fuel tanks out of there. We know there's going to be an athletic complex on that corner. So can we do it right there in front on school property, which I think would make sense and be easy to do. So they'll cross road, hit a sidewalk on, not in right of way because we don't have any, but on school property.
Perfect.
And then come down off the street and out of the shoulder. Yeah. That would be the, what we're looking at trying to do.
Is the lady,
and we'd have to pay for it.
The lady brought up, and she, this may be very well said, we may be better off putting our kid on a school bus and driving them across the street. And driving them home, and if they got to walk all the way down to the end of it, where the complex is right now, that's a good way.
We're going to figure it out because scheduling buses with all the sports that are going, I mean, they're coming and going constantly between. I mean, I don't know how many sports we got now. Cheerleaders, extracurriculars. I don't know how a shuttle would work. I think we got to figure out a way to safely get them down the sidewalk, off the property, at the light, and across the light, safely. And I do think we can do that with the lights phased, with a crossing phase built in. I think we can. I just, they're still crazy drivers. It scares me to death them crossing, even under a crossing light, because some of our deaths and severe injuries on the beach road was people crossing at the right time.
Yeah,
it's just drinking, tourist, looking for your condo while you're doing this. I mean, there's all these factors involved that scare me with crossing a five lane. But we will do whatever we can do to minimize that danger.
Okay, appreciate it. I just needed that answer.
Thank you.
Linda, do you know how many children that would be going to the middle school and high school? Do you have any concept of how many we're talking about?
And they probably have as high a percentage of young families as anybody
as
in town.
Anywhere.
Right, that's what I'm trying
them and Captain's Cove, I think. And that's the Captain's Cove
too.
Second, you know, I mean, with kids.
And
so
Lauder Place.
They're all over there, you know.
Yeah, Lauder Place.
So you mentioned busing the children if there is no safe option to walk. But in most public school systems, if you live within walking distance, there is no bus service.
Well, it would be a city
except
subsidized service.
That we might
service.
Be able to help that.
With us.
The trouble is, I don't know how we schedule that. We'd have to figure, again, I'm not ruling anything out, but I like to throw out, okay, what is, not that I'm trying to be negative, but there are hurdles. How do we work through that? And a lot of times, y'all forgive me because I'm actually talking to myself when I verbalize it so that these guys remember what I said. But working through the logistics and mechanics of actually scheduling, you know, cheerleaders off at 5, gymnastics got through at 5:15, wrestling got off at 5:10, you know, how does that work? So maybe
they wait for the next bus.
Yeah. Well, that's true. But we got to have a place to wait. We'll look at that option, okay?
When your children had after-school activities in Gulf Shores, were they not bussed home?
No.
You had to go get them?
Anything after school, you're on your own.
Yeah.
I mean, parents wouldn't pick them up. I mean, even at the elementary school for years, not a whole lot of, I mean, yeah, you had some bikers and walkers, but most people drove, even with buses. Most parents, even to the elementary and high school there, most parents still drove until their kids could drive. They didn't go on the bus.
The difference with Gulf Shores to some degree is the school is isolated, and there's not two mega complexes across the street with 500 kids trying to cross. So it is a little bit of a unique situation because parents had to come get them. If we can facilitate a way to move that many kids without, if we can, we absolutely will. But yes, sir, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, just I wanted to, thanks for, my name is Don Sterling, another Cypress Village resident. Wanted to, first of all, applaud you all for being so dialed in to the issue. I'd like to see a lot of head nodding, and you're very very aware. So I'm encouraged by that. So I have a little question and maybe a bigger one for consideration. School zone, you mentioned the school, about, do we know where the signage will be placed for that and how far and how wide the depth and breadth? I don't know if that's another formula that comes from somewhere else.
It generally is, but again, anything safety oriented that we want to expand to make it safer, Most of the time, the state agencies allow us to do that. So we will have the warning and what we need to indicate you're in a school zone. And we're going to have police officers. We'll have a police officer there. Bill Silvers and at Sweetwater. So we'll be writing tickets, I guarantee you, if somebody comes flying through there.
I have no quarrel with that. I think that our fine officers, I see what happens in normal school evolution, and I'm just, those guys needed to cross I-10 to get our kids to school. I think they come up with a plan. That's never been an issue. I mean, I'm worried about more about the kid coming home tired from football practice at 6:30 at night in the winter when it's dark. And it's a significant event to cross canal as a grown-up with a lot of situational awareness, let alone a kid coming home from a rehearsal late at night. So I submit that for consideration. And I know that there's a lot of signs and blinking lights and a lot of other things that maybe we can have done just as a provision or maybe preemptive, not just maybe not wait for something or data and all that. And my final point is maybe just submit for consideration since you can see all the stakeholders here in the room, if maybe the council could consider some sort of a breakout group, subgroup, maybe headed up by one of you, that we could have stakeholders be part of, contribute between these meetings and maybe bring something more meaningful, maybe to maintain inertia or momentum, just something to maybe think about.
You must not have my cell phone number.
Just that, that's, I'll just maybe submit that for consideration.
Yeah.
Okay.
What I mean by that is I am accessible at all times, and we have no problem. I mean, we meet with any group anytime they want to meet. So you are, if this group wants to facilitate a weekly meeting with Kit and whoever, absolutely, we have no problem. That way y'all are updated on exactly where we are in the process as the school is getting. But y'all forgive us. I mean, I'm not the one bearing the burden, Dr. McCoy and all her staff is, but the opening a school, I had no earthly idea was so complex and so much stuff to be done. So y'all forgive us, but other eyes on it is a good thing. It doesn't bother us because if you see something we forget, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. And you bring it to our attention, we'll do our best to get it done or give you an answer why. We won't ever ignore you, and we won't let it go into a black hole. We'll get you an answer. May not be the answer you like, but you know we'll get you an answer. So. Well,
you're right. Maybe there's some creative things that could come out of it, even within the subdivision itself, where you guys say, hey, we can take on some of this, and some of us can be available at this time. I mean, there are some creative things that we can think about and do it as a partnership. Because really, when you do things as partners, you get a lot more done than if one person's doing it all. So I think your idea of having some sessions and brainstorming are good.
Well, at least
I know, I'm volunteering. So.
Well, I think there's value to looking at East Wharf Parkway and then finding a way we can getting with Bibby and those folks to have a way for you to come out of Cypress Village and cut across over to East Wharf Parkway. Now, the golf carts have figured that out. And that is a very rough road. I have traveled out on a golf cart. It's very rough, so we need to get that graded. But maybe we can get Bibby to be a partner with this to try to see if we can get it channeled out to a safe intersection.
Anything else y'all can think of? Whether they got to be kids, I mean, y'all know y'all's neighborhood is growing, so if you're here, might as well talk about it. We good.
Anybody else? Kids got.
Yes, ma'am.
I do want people to be aware, everybody's so used to seeing no shoulder on Canal Road. There are going to be 6-foot shoulders on the new Canal Road. That is a big, huge difference with regard to moving up and down the street on a bicycle or walking. So I just want to make sure everybody knows it's not going to be that teeny little 1-foot shoulder. So that will in and of itself improve movement.
Right. And that was one of the reasons we ran out of room for the multimodal on both sides. But that we thought would be, that was a great compromise to have that on both sides. So.
Well, and for years we've been working on the golf cart situation and bicycle path and walking to be able to go from Bear Point all the way to the other end of the city. And I mean, so in essence, now that you can leave Bear Point, come through, go through the behind the post office, get into the sportsplex, come through the sportsplex, and go all the way to the wharf, it's going to be a big deal. And it's years and a lot of grant money and a lot of work just to get to that point. And it's funny, I'm just sitting here thinking, what you've just presented us is the analogy of our life. For something super exciting and incredible of a new school with Mako and academics and excellence and all that we're doing, there's always another issue that comes up with safety or something else, and it's always a balance. But again, I'm going to say this and just reiterate, I can't applaud y'all enough for coming in advance. We have thought about all of these, but all the ideas and the push and the inertia you talked about helps, and it also helps us with LDOT and being able to move stuff. So your voice does matter and it counts. So thank you, and I applaud you for participating.
So who doesn't have my cell phone?
747-8282.
Thank you, Jeff. 747-8282. It is. Oh, yeah, that's right. I changed it. Anyway, it's much easier for me to take your call than it is to have to undo something on Facebook or try to schedule an opinion. I'm sorry, an appointment. Just call me. It's just that simple. Yeah. Schedule your opinion. I'll give it to you. Right? So, but thank y'all. So anything else? The floor is open.
I have something else, and I hate to follow that, but Jeff just kind of alluded to it. I'm Tina DiAversa, 27465 East Beach Boulevard. And just as a point of mention, just because I, like everybody, have an opinion, I'm an educator in a different school system. Our school is on the north side of a major state highway as well. And our students exit the back of the school. They get on the bus, and the bus drives them around the school to the back, further back, to their subdivision. It's much shorter distance for them to walk. However, in that abundance of caution, that's what I think has to happen here. So that's exactly what needs to happen. Now, I don't have an answer for the extracurricular. That's something y'all are going to have to think about. But I think between this group, y'all are going to come up with a solution.
Well, school busing, the taking schools to and from school is not an issue.
Yeah.
It's the aftercurricular that's the issue, yeah. Which you just pointed out. So that's what we got
to
deal with.
So while y'all were talking to, I was thinking like our regular football season from Captain's Cove and from Lauder Place when we've had football league. You don't see kids crossing Canal Road. Their parents drive them. They're usually there or they carpool with someone else. And we've dealt with it at the Sportsplex and down William Silvers, whether it's baseball or football, for years. And I understand this is an acceleration. It's sort of exponential. But safety-wise, and even in this city specifically, most parents are with their kids somehow. I don't know how, but it just seems like everywhere you go, the parents are there with their kids or another parent is there. So hopefully that takes care of most of it, but I'm not minimizing anything we have discussed. I was just thinking, what have we done in the past? And it just seems like you don't ever see a kid walking down William Silvers Boulevard with his helmet going home. Somebody's always taking him there.
Yeah. Education is critical. What I came to talk to you guys about tonight is that long-awaited golf cart, actually motorized cart ordinance that you guys are working on. I'm interested in an update on it. I own property on Perdido Beach Boulevard. I moved over to right off of Canal Road, East Beach Boulevard. And twice a day, I walk with my dog, especially during the time that we've had. I see Councilmember Johnson walking. And it is extremely concerning to me, not only for my own safety and my dog's safety, but the lack of following the state law that the golf cart drivers do not follow. They do not follow the law, period. And even though we're planning for a cart path that will extend, and I'm thrilled with that, don't get me wrong, I don't want to be the negative person, but I do want to continue this dialogue of the safety concerns that we have with the motorized carts. They're either gas-powered or electric-powered. They're not golf carts. They're motorized vehicles. They're my concern for my safety and for the safety of all the walkers, pedestrians, is we're on a sidewalk. and these carts don't know where they're supposed to go and where the right-of-way is. Now, I will say kudos to Public Safety for putting the new signs up. I probably was the first citizen that recognized them. I started taking pictures and sending them to people because I was so happy to see that it's being pointed out that you are to yield the right-of-way to pedestrians. So that's helping. I'm seeing some of it, but you've got underage children driving the golf carts, even with their parents. You've got adults driving the carts, babies hanging off the carts. I mean, there's just a huge safety issue. And I'm on Public Safety Advisory Committee, and we have this discussion with Chief Brown at all of our meetings. And so I'm here just to find out what's the update on the ordinance and that education portion, just like we're talking about here, about educating, getting to and from school and the path that they're to take, that education needs to really happen for these motorized carts because, you know, they're flying around all the time. They're not legally, the operators are not legal. The carts are not legal based on the state law. And I'm not sure exactly what our ordinance is going to say. So I'll be quiet and listen to you guys for an update. Thank you very much.
I'll keep it simple. Registration and inspections coming. Multimodal path on Canal Road is coming, and we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
So does that mean that there's going to be an ordinance approved?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what's
the ordinance will be part of the registration.
And what's the time?
And sometime in the fall.
I think that's what we've got to go to, certified carts that will have seat belts on them, turn signals, mirrors. Seat belts is the main thing because the ones I see all the time, they're flying down through there, and kids are operating them, and one little swerve and they're going to go flying off, and so mirrors and seat belts. But we gotta set whatever we're gonna do as far as the driver of the cart, because you can't allow a 9, 10, 11 year old operate it unless we go through some kind of a certified program. But I think the state law you have to have a driver's license. I'm thinking.
Well, that's what we enforce now when we can. But again, it's very difficult. We get calls all the time by kids on carts. We show up, kids ain't there on the cart. They're not sitting and waiting to show up. So it's very, very difficult. And the majority of kids on carts are folks that live here. They're not tourists. They're local folks who know they're not supposed to be on a cart, but they're on a cart. And with seven persons on a shift at max, it's really difficult pragmatically to deal with some of those types of issues. We know that people should be drinking on a golf cart. We try to deal with that when we can. We know that people should be courteous and driving, yielding to pedestrians. We try to deal with that when we can. But unless it's observed by an officer, then it's really hard to do anything with. Now, we do know and hope that once we have the registration, every cart will have a number on it. And it will have an identification card to go with it. So we'll know who that number is assigned to. And like you said, it will meet certain criteria based on the state. They'll renew that ever so often. But we're going to do that in the fall. So, and what we'll probably do is travel from neighborhood to neighborhood to area and let them come to us and do it on site. So, example, all of Bear Point would be at the Civic Center. Just everybody come to Civic Center, and we'd register them all there that day. So we're looking and working through all this. It is the Hatfield and McCoys at time.
So.
Sorry. Well, everybody, if we spread the word, you will be in a, first off, if they're in a street-certified golf cart, then there's no road. They won't need to be on any sidewalk on any street in Orange Beach except Marina Road. They shouldn't be on Marina Road because that's 35 miles an hour unless we bring it down to 25. And then we will solve the problem, hopefully, on Canal Road by providing wide enough path. But anywhere else, they should be able to drive on the street because it's 25 and under is a legal, street-legal golf cart. So we just got to get there. But we have every intention of getting there, getting that done. So don't know if that answers your question or not, but that's where we are.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Mayor, can I just make a comment?
Yep.
I just want to say, you know, this is a very great list of questions, and those questions are very detailed. And I just want to tell you the last few, you know, when it talks about one child or fatality or something like that, I just wanted to say I know these elected officials. I know the principal for 2 years. I know Kit. I know all of us involved. That is the last thing anyone ever wants. So I just want you to understand that, you know, not saying that we don't get what you're writing, but trust me, there is no one here that absolutely has not got that on their mind. And so just know that's a top concern.
Yeah. And y'all know I have a 14-year-old. And that boy, he has no consequence center in his brain. It is strictly, what do I want right this minute? Everybody get out of my way. This is what I'm going to do. So I get it. I do get what 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th graders are going to be like with that road. I want that Cinnabon. I want that.
Burger King.
So I get it.
My name is Sally Bradley. I'm also with Cypress Village, but I would love to go back and address item number one on the list, the Cypress Park House, because I have an offer on that house that I would love to let these guys finish the house. I was wondering if you guys can give me an update.
We're going to have that hearing next week.
Uh-huh.
I talked with the, for 2 weeks. I talked actually with Mr. Berry, the foreman. The
yes,
superintendent under Paul.
I talked to him. I can't get him to return my calls, but I'm glad you did.
Well, he took
yeah.
mine.
Yeah.
What we're going to do is, and this is what I'm going to recommend, is we give them 60 days. He says he has cabinets bought, flooring bought,
he
et cetera,
does.
Et cetera. So we're going to give him 60 days if y'all approve. But what is the reason we're here mm-hmm. is because they've told us this over, and they made us look foolish for being nice. And when you mistake my kindness for weakness, that's upsetting. You know what I mean?
I put an offer on that house on May 14th with a 90-day close.
Okay. Well, what we want to do is here's what I told him. I was going to recommend to the council. You've got cabinets. You've got
four. He has cabinets. I do not.
Yep. I said, if you got everything on the inside built out in 60 days, then we'll probably extend it till it's finished. But if you don't, at the end of 60 days, you're
what
losing.
What happens at the end of 60 days? Does the city get the house?
The city doesn't have, no, we don't
okay.
get
what
the
happens
house.
At the end of the house at 60 days?
It becomes declared a public nuisance, am I correct?
Then what happens?
Where is Chuck at?
Chuck's not here tonight, but I think the anticipation is to declare a public nuisance, and then you would proceed with having it potentially demolished.
But here's what I think. Uh-huh. Having heard from him tonight, you're being here.
Isn't there someone else here representing them?
No.
No?
It's not on the agenda. They just set the public here.
Okay.
Yeah,
I was
that's for 2 weeks.
Someone else that was coming tonight.
But I'm going to ask y'all if we give them 60 days, because we have a new buyer that's here and legitimate, not somebody in Tennessee or wherever. I talked with the superintendent, mm-hmm. and you're verifying that he has done what he said he's going to do as far as purchasing cabinets and flooring and all that.
I met with the cabinet maker.
Okay. Okay.
I have met. Yeah.
So I would like to absolutely, but I also know that the community. If they want us to allow that opportunity, that's why the public hearing. If they are open with, because they've been putting up with this
for years, years, and 13 years.
Exactly.
I know it's been a long time.
So what do you think, Lanny? What do you think?
That's why, I would just like to point out that we did this for them 6 months ago.
Yeah.
When the 6 months came, the 6 months went, and they did nothing.
Well, and I don't understand that.
I don't either, and that's one reason I wanted you guys to tell me what's going on with the house, because I want clear, straight answers, and I'm not getting them from the other side. So
that's
my frustration in this whole process, because there's Paul Uter, there's Harold and Larry McMillan, and then there's Barry. And it's like, how do all these parties fit together with this house? My contract is with Harold McMillan.
Who owns the house?
Harold McMillan.
Okay, and you're buying it from Harold McMillan.
But I've never laid eyes on him. I talked to his father, Larry, who lives in Tennessee.
Who have you contracted with to finish it?
Larry McMillan, Harold. I mean, they're finishing the house.
Paul Uter is working under contract with Mr. McMillan.
They're
Barry McKenzie is basically his job foreman for that project.
All right, so your closing is 90 days.
90 days from the date I signed that contract, or I'm walking.
Okay.
July 14th.
May 14th.
May 14th. Mm-hmm. So you're getting
close. I'm getting really close.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, they want 90 days, but hell, I say 60 and let's see what happens. But then again, my contract won't be up. Existence in 60 days.
Why don't we see if we can come up with a solution?
Mm-hmm.
I don't see the house demolished. I mean, it didn't make any sense.
But they've done a lot of work on the house in the last 2 weeks. They are having a lot of issues with a lot of COVID-19 contractors. They're having a tremendous amount of effort trying to get people. I mean, hell, it took them 2 weeks to get the drywall guys to come. And they did. Now they've been shut down because that's what they were installing when they closed it down on the
30th. Understand.
And I, like I said, I just wanted to know where you guys stood on the other side, because I've been waiting for answers from those three people for days.
I don't think they could give you an answer because they don't have an answer.
But they can at least return my phone call. One who returns my phone call is Daddy Larry, who is totally has no interest in this.
Yeah. Well, that might tell you something.
Yeah.
So. But I don't know.
It's very frustrating.
I know, and it's going to be more frustrating 90 days when it's still not finished. Let me and Lanny and talk about it. And Lanny's our building official.
Okay. I think your name was on the no work order. Was it? No. Yeah.
Which one?
Yeah, I think it was. That would be great.
We just want it finished.
Yeah.
And at some point, no matter how many promises you've made, it's like, that's it. It's over with, you know? So, Danny, if you want to take and bring her.
What did you guys say? All right, for instance, she really wants this house.
I mean, I will not even put my house on the market because I'm afraid I'm going to be homeless. I will be homeless.
What if you all, decide, hey, we're not going to extend it, instead of tearing it down?
Hell, sell it to me for a lesser price.
And then we can get Daryl to finish it.
I would try. I've already tried to buy the house for a lesser price, and they flat refused to do it.
Let's do this. Let's get in a room,
okay,
and let's talk it through, see what options we have, okay? All we want is it finished, and all the neighborhood wants is it finished.
I know,
I know you do, too.
I do, too, and I would love to be in that house, but, I mean, I need to know what a date is.
I understand, but believe me, this is a history we have with these folks for years, so we're not real excited about helping, nor are we real confident anything will get done, but for you, and if they're okay with it, I don't mind giving a little bit. But I think we need to have an absolute plan with an absolute cutoff date with some type of progress. Would y'all be willing to go along with that?
I mean, I was hoping the fact that they had a contract and a willing buyer and whose financing is ready to make the deal to be a motivator, and it has not been. And I do know they have issues with COVID-19 trying to get workers there. But
well, first off, I would like to go over there. I want to make sure. I want to see the cabinets on the floor.
The cabinets have been ordered.
I'm talking about in the house. That's
what
I'm saying.
They're not there.
So we're not
going to
give them. We call them and say, when you got the cabinets on the floor, flooring on the floor, when you got tile fixtures in that house, because that's what he told me, it's all been bought.
The cabinets were ordered and they were a four-week turnaround or five-week turnaround, and that was 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
I do know that because I've been communicating with the cabinet maker.
Okay. Let's just have a sidebar and see if we can come
up. And I know
the
tile's been ordered for the house and it's supposed to be delivered next week, but maybe, maybe not.
Yeah. Does that sound good to y'all?
I would love to have a side conversation.
You should get in touch with Lanny.
Okay.
Y'all know how to get in touch with me?
Well, I'll get your number.
Okay.
Thank
that sound
you.
Good? No, thank you for asking. I asked them tonight, Barry, that they need to make sure they were here to present their case with
the
hearing.
Well, they told me that today, because they did not know this was on anything on here. They said no one notified them of anything.
Paul knew when that this was.
Paul, Mr. Uter's out of town and said he got no notification.
Yeah.
But well, then again, I don't. That's
when
what
did
I
you talk to him last? Tell him the permit was going to be pulled.
And he was going to try to be here tonight.
Yeah. That's right. Well, you got 2 weeks before the hearing.
So two weeks I'm going to be sitting with the house doing nothing.
No. Well, that's what I'm saying. Let's see if we can come up with a plan.
Okay. So.
And if the council allows me to take that and make the decision, then we'll make
the
call
order
of what we can do to see if we can get it done. That sound good?
Okay.
Guys, community, y'all got any grief with us trying one more time?
I hope you get your house.
I do, too. I really want that house.
Really don't try to stifle very much.
Well,
we try
tell
to work
you,
for people to get stuff done.
Well, the whole crazy thing is I sent an email to these guys probably 1st of June, middle of June, and say, hey, what you doing on the June 30th deadline? Have you talked to anybody at the city? I called Kit. Poor Kit says, please leave me alone. But I got nothing.
Thank you.
We're working on it. We're working on it.
Thank you.
So.
Well, we're going to work on it. We're going to try to come up with a solution. But there's got to be a whole bunch of willing parties. We can moan it all we want, but that other side's got to make it happen.
I had a very good conversation with Larry about an hour before I walked in here, and okay. He's coming in town next week. He said he will motivate Barry. So I don't know if that's possible, but
well,
it may be if you motivate.
Well, I just did.
So I probably, then I will.
But yeah. Me and Lanny will talk it through. And,
okay.
And y'all talk. Let's just see if we come up with a plan. We just hate being made a fool of again.
Oh, I know the feeling.
Because we've been so nice. So,
I mean,
okay.
I don't know if, you know, if they, like I said, I thought the thought process of signing a contract for the price that I asked for it was they would jump all over it and finish the house.
I agree.
But it's not happening. Again, thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Okay. Final call. Anybody else got anything?
Yeah. Mayor, I know you expected me tonight. I want to remind everybody that a statewide runoff election Tuesday. The polls will be open 7 to 7. That'll be the 14th. Thank you.
Tuesday week.
Come vote.
A week from tonight, yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Why is that election not the same as the 25th?
This was postponed because of COVID.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This has been the longest primary race in the history of Alabama. Tommy Tuberville versus Jeff Sessions. So, Tommy Tuberville really likes Orange Beach. I'm not saying that for any reason, but all right, guys, are y'all sure? Okay, y'all. Anybody else? All right, you got a motion to adjourn?
Second.
We're
adjourned. Thank you, everyone.